Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, even though no one will be behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Monday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson with you as always. Huh, what a great day to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. I mean, it is 13 degrees outside. But anytime you're coming off a win in this country.
Okay. Nice.
Over Alabama.
Nice.
Was it a little ugly? Was it a pretty atrocious second half? Yes. Do I care? No. It's nice. It's nice to be a team that can struggle mightily. Hopefully, and I think this team will, because they're smart, good, great kids.
They're good enough. They're smart enough.
They will learn their lessons even in a win.
And doggone it, people like them.
This isn't like those John Calipari teams where you have to take a loss to learn some lessons. I think Rick Barnes and the boys will learn from Saturday and still get the win, and still, around midday today, hopefully, maybe, just maybe, be your number one team in all of college basketball. Well, that's not that important. What is important is they got a big win over hated football rival Alabama. I'll call him a football rival since you said basketball doesn't really count.
Maybe like one time.
It's nice rival to win in basketball over a football rival, though.
Football nemesis.
I'll take it.
Rival, I think you have to be relevant in in the game to make
one
it a rival.
One time football rival.
Yeah. Nemesis. The evil empire of football.
It was a big sigh of relief game, I think, for a lot of people.
I mean, that's
I went into it
putting it lightly
with normal nervous pregame energy, and at one point I felt pretty good. I was like, oh yeah, just going right along like it's supposed to,
no problem.
And then Mr. Uneven Dread Sideshow Bob just went
John Petty
crazy for the Tide.
Great,
crazy,
great name, John Petty.
Good point.
I don't know why. It sounds good. I guess maybe I'm thinking like Tom Petty, but it was John Petty. How freaking good was he in the second half? What did he started with 12 straight? He had 20 in the second half?
30 for the game.
He did go scoreless for like the last five or so minutes, which was nice. Figured something out on the defensive end to slow down Petty, which was necessary because Tennessee's offense in the second half, kind of vanished. Not as good. Not as crisp.
No.
Grant Williams, foul trouble. God, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Tony White told you not to foul out, Grant. And what did you do? You fouled out. I mean, there wasn't that much time left when he fouled out. And he did have the key block on Petty in the corner.
It's true.
But no, I'm with you.
Key putback,
well,
too.
Well, in Grant's mind,
yeah, very
he
key
didn't
putback.
Foul out. He only had four fouls.
Sometimes Grant's too smart.
Which one did he disagree with the most?
I have no idea.
Okay. So,
you just saw him fighting the ref like, I only had four. holds his hand up. He's like, I only had four. Like, why am I going out?
That's weird. I mean, like, even if
Now I want to go back and count.
Yeah, even if they called one weird on him earlier in the game that he didn't think was on him,
you
in
should
his
still
head,
know it's a foul.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, even the coaching staff should be telling you, hey, you've got four now, you know. And if he goes, oh, I thought I had three.
This staff, they don't know what they're doing. Get him out of here. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Well, they ran that set to get Grant the ball at the elbow, basically, you know, just outside the free throw line.
Then he charges.
And they've done that a couple times now. I do want to see a little more variety late game situations. This happened last year.
It's hard
year.
When you're not in that many.
This happened last year where Rick Barnes ran the same sets like over and over and over late in games. And by tournament time, people kind of knew what was coming.
Maybe they did, but that's also the set they ran that got you the M1 play to go up over Loyola Chicago, right? Wasn't that the same Grant on the elbow, drive, hoop, harm?
Yeah, I don't remember if it's the lead. Same setup. I mean,
I'm just saying it was the same idea.
Yeah. Well,
same.
I mean,
we're going to get it to Grant right here, and we're going to let him either shoot the jumper if they back off or take it to the rack.
The problem with the offense in the second half.
Didn't make enough shots.
Teams get in this situation all the time.
Didn't score enough.
No.
That's my guess.
You're not quite as crisp on just a day for just whatever reason. And, you know, some shots don't go down. Admiral, you know, he was missing jump shots. A lot of guys were missing shots.
Admiral was just a hair off.
And then I'll tell you what happened.
And out and they were, yeah.
You could probably speak to this too. The coaches during the breaks say, guys, take the ball to the basket. We got it. Let's get the ball to the rim. Let's get to the free throw line. Let's be aggressive. Let's force their defense to rotate. And then if we kick out and are shooting wide open looks, like that's what we want. But right now we have got to attack the basket. So then your best players, but here's the only problem with that is then your best players go, okay, coach, take the ball to the basket. Take the ball. And they get the basketball, and if there hasn't been enough ball movement, they end up trying to attack against a lot of help side defense, two and three guys, or at least guys that are hanging around are able to come with the and help. And that's what started happening to Grant and Admiral like halfway through the second half. They're trying to start taking the ball and being more aggressive. I mean, Grant got the ball in that spot a couple times and ended up starting to drive and kind of running into a help defender or his defender, you know, was just kind of ready for him, and he, you know, missed some shots that he normally makes. And so you end up with guys almost forcing the ball to the basket, and that just makes your offense kind of slump even more. And luckily, later in the game, they finally, you know, married those two things you have to do. Like, you have to move the ball and then attack the basket. And late, I mean, that play we were talking about a second ago, like, Admiral attacked the basket. Even though he missed the shot, it forced his help defender had come over, leaves Grant wide open, not blocked out. He puts it back, and you pair that up with Alabama missing a ton of free throws. Holy cow, that helped.
Thank God.
And the defense stiffening on
they were 8
John
of 8,
Petty,
8 of 18 from the free
who
throw.
Who came off the bench. I don't.
Yeah. 8 of 18 was Alabama from the free throw line.
8 of 18.
Tennessee 12 of 16. When's the last time we only shot 16 free throws? Weird game.
Alabama was almost as good from the floor as they were from the free throw line, like with defense on them.
Yeah. And in the second half, I'd hate to see their numbers because I'm sure it was way better than 44.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say this, though. Alabama, it's a pretty good team. Like, defensively, they're just good. They're quick at the guards. They've got enough size and speed on the inside to make things difficult for guys like Kyle, guys like Grant. They could at least keep pace with Bowden and Bone for the most part. Bone got a few early. They adjusted. They didn't give up a lot of rotational type threes because they're fast. They could get there. They could close out. Mm-hmm. So Tennessee only shot 12 threes in the game. I think they only made one in the first half. They hit two, I think, back-to-back. Like, Bowden and Admiral hit them really close together in the second half, but they only hit three. They were 3 of 12 from three. I think Alabama deserves a lot of credit. I think that's a pretty good basketball team. They have already beat Kentucky. They've had some weird slip-ups here and there, but I was more impressed with Alabama than I was disappointed in Tennessee, especially when you saw the BPI was 92.2% favorite. The line was 13. And at halftime, Tennessee, who I thought they had played sloppy in the first half, but they were still on pace for like 88 to 64 or something. Then Petty comes out and gets hot. And those first 12 points by him, I mean, that's kind of the difference in the game. Otherwise, you kept pace. The problem was you didn't stop John Petty to start the second half, and then you were in a ball game all of a sudden when really you had played well enough to have a nice cushion. But credit to Alabama and Avery Johnson, who made some nice changes in the second half also, by the way. They are young, but they do have the couple of pieces you need to be able to win a game like this. Obviously, they didn't win it, and I'm thrilled. But guys like Petty off the bench, obviously Hall on the inside is a monster. I don't know how many dunks he had. I think he's still hanging on the rim. But Alabama's not bad. I think that's a good win for Tennessee. I mean, they're 11-6. That's not a horrible record right now.
Well, and the game would have kind of made more sense from a fan perspective if it was kind of back and forth the whole way. It was weird that, you know, Tennessee was pretty dominant in the first half, and then Alabama, had that massive run in the second half.
What was their run to start the second half? I know Petty had 12 straight. Was it 16-0? Was it a 16-0 run to start the second half?
I don't think it might have been 14, that bad. 14-0 was sticking out in my head, but might have been 16.
I mean,
I'll find out.
That's what you can't do. You can't give up that type of a run. Tennessee shouldn't have that happen against them, against anybody. No team in the country should be able to knock off 12, 14, 16 in a row, and that's what happened. And as Troy Elliott points out, and this was where I was going, we talked about this on Voluntary Reaction after the game, Rick Barnes preached all week, can't let down in the second half, can't let down in the second half, can't let down in the second half. They kind of let down in the second half, especially to start the second half. Now, Nate, you said earlier this is the kind of game that you don't have to lose it to learn a lesson, and I agree. I think it's really hard for Rick Barnes, even if he can get him to say it to the media and kind of buy in, it's really hard to tell your team they played poorly when they beat a conference opponent 106-87. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to say, hey, guys, pick up the defense a little more when you've hung 106 on the board at home. This one feels like one Rick Barnes can throw on the tape and really get people's attention. And luckily, it didn't cost Tennessee a loss in conference at home with potentially the number one ranking on the line in order to get that. Now, ironically, what is it, 10 years to the day? Oh, I'm getting old. Tennessee may go to number one today. And what's the next game? On the road at Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
Holy Toledo. You couldn't write it any better if you had a script.
It was 16-0, I think, if you go back to the second or the first half.
Oh, if you include that, yeah.
It was 13-0 to start the second half.
Okay.
Go back to that Alabama scored the final three in the first half, and you got a 16-0 run.
So it was 13. It was a 13-0 run, though, to start the second half.
Yes.
Yeah, they got up 45-44.
Can't do that.
Yeah, after it being 29-44 late in the first half. It's crazy. It was just that part of the game was just weird, you know? I mean, it'd have been normal if it was just more back and forth, if Petty's points didn't all come kind of in that one stretch.
No, I mean, that was the difference. I mean, Alabama's defense, especially in the second half, was going to limit what Tennessee was able to do. I mean, Tennessee gave up 68. Like, that's right around where they want to be defensively. They said, we want to hold teams to, under 65, 65 for fewer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were right there. And they would have been well ahead of that pace. Problem was, you didn't guard John Petty to start the second half. Like, you just forgot about that guy. And I'm kind of joking because he was sensational. Some of those shots, some of those attacks on the rim, he was just really, really good. But then your offense kind of struggled too, as you mentioned. Like, Admiral had, I don't know, four or five shots that touched every inch of the rim and wouldn't go through. You had point-blank layup attempts that would just kind of rim out and roll off to the other side. And to Alabama's credit, they're a pretty damn good rebounding team too. They were hustling on the boards. You know, Tennessee had a couple possessions in the first half where they had, two, three, four offensive rebounds? You didn't get any of that in the second half. You had to be precise because Alabama was doing a really good job cleaning up on the defensive glass. And Tennessee struggled to shoot. I thought they struggled to get good looks. I was looking at the shot totals. They actually shot quite a few over their average. I think they shot 64 times from the floor. But a lot of those were really tough looks against, like I said, a really good defense. I think that's a really good win. And to your point again, one that you can use without having to put an L in the column to teach your team a few things, to learn a couple things. That was the kind of game that even last year they probably would have lost. That felt kind of Arkansas-y, right? Like, that felt a little like Auburn.
No, they should have lost the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like I want to say that, and then I'm like, well, they do, but they do have the killer instinct down the stretch when they need it. Like, they have the last 3 minutes in them to beat just about anybody, and they did that. Like, they made the block, the free throws by Turner. Like, they did, in fact, make the plays, although, I mean, many would say don't call that travel, but he did hook also, so.
No. I mean, I think that was absolutely a travel. You should call the game. I mean, I think you should call the game. I think if you're calling the game correctly throughout the game, you should call it the same way at the end. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he caught the ball. He literally caught the ball and came completely off the floor by turning, because he didn't use a pivot foot to turn. He just let both feet come off the floor to turn, and that's a travel. And if he did then hook the guy. I don't know if they'd have called that later if he hadn't traveled, but it really doesn't matter. Like, he traveled, they called it. It's the right call. I am surprised they called it. If they'd have called it on Tennessee in that situation, I'd probably be mad.
Yeah.
But it'd still be the right call.
Yeah.
It wasn't some minuscule thing that you're like stretching to find it, I guess. Like it wasn't like, oh yeah, technically that's a travel, but they never ever call that in basketball. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of times you teach players to catch the ball with their feet in the air. And mm-hmm. if you think about that, like, as the ball, you really don't lift your feet off the air until the ball kind of touches your hands, which technically if you slow it down by frame by frame, could be a travel. It wasn't like some situation like that. It wasn't like, oh yeah, but everybody does that. No, everybody isn't allowed to catch the ball and then spin move with both feet off the floor to gain the corner, right, to go around Admiral.
And a hook
was coming too, so I don't, you know. And that ref had made some questionable calls against Tennessee, so
some people said it was a makeup.
But
I couldn't remember what happened right before that. I was probably on the floor after I flipped over the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, it's fine. Luckily, the video wasn't real.
That's good.
That would have been embarrassing.
Oh, man. Wow, I wish we had that on tape.
Yeah.
Gold.
Mm. I hate that we missed it. Hate that we missed it.
Yeah, Houston flipped out of his chair watching the game here in the studio.
It was the Grant Williams charge. I was so mad.
Getting set for... I mean, that was a good call, too, right? Wasn't that right? I mean, the guy...
Yeah.
Like, Grant just kind of plowed into him.
I mean, I thought it was a flop, but it was a... I mean, he put the shoulder, square in the chest. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, he probably could have withstood Grant coming in on him on that, but it's
no,
a
he
smart
sold
play.
It. He sold it, yeah. I didn't have a problem with that call.
Yeah, and I mean, as soon as Grant came over... You could see the assistant coach talking to him about, like, you have to jab step, but without, like, you can't lower in that much in that situation. You know, give him that fake, and I don't know. He's trying to explain what he should have done. I mean, that was the look they wanted. They wanted Grant isolated at the high post, and then you flopped out of the chair. I guess you took
Bama
the,
flopped. I flopped.
Took the charge.
I was worried about it.
Well, that's my...
That was a key time in the game.
That's my next question. Are Tennessee fans worried because, A, maybe Tennessee didn't play as well this weekend? Does that worry you? Some people are apparently worried about being the number one team in the country.
Yep.
Like, they don't want to be number one.
Right.
So I'd love to get somebody's take on that. Like, why do you not want to be number one? I mean...
It's a curse.
Like, if you lose it, you lose it. But, like, what, you know... It's still January. This isn't...
Well, I think that's what everyone's saying. I don't want it right now. I want it at the end of the season. It's like, well, you can have both.
Yeah, like,
you can have it now, lose it, and then get it back again still. Mm. It's not like football where it's rare to get it twice. Like, typically in basketball, you can have it, three times, four times in a season, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah, if you get it now, you don't have to hold it until the end. You can come and go.
Yeah, and
Ricky, you can be second, third, fourth. Heck, you can even be fifth. No, not feeling it.
I don't. What?
I mean, it didn't sound bad, but I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
I'm. We need to take a break.
Is that Talladega Nights?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it makes
sense. It's been a minute. If you're not first or last.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true. You can be second, third, fourth, hell, even fifth.
If you want to weigh in, or if you're worried on the number one team in the country, or if you're worried about the way the
back
team
to first.
Played, you can give us a shout, 865-546-8200. We'll open up the phone lines. We got basically two big topics today, obviously Tennessee basketball and then the NFL playoffs as our Super Bowl is now set. Lots more on that later in the program. We're talking Tennessee hoops, though, and we'll be back with more of that on the flip side. Let me remind you, though, that 3 and Out is driven by Toyota Knoxville. I-40, the Lovell Road exit right there on Parkside Drive, and you can get an additional $300 off their best deal if you tell them that you heard about them right here on 3 and Out or Fox Sports Knoxville.
Did you forget the name of our show for a second?
No, I started to say Tennessee. I don't know why.
Okay. Just asking. No. I'm just curious. Walking on a dream. How can
I explain? Talking to myself. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee gets the win over Alabama, 71-68. And up next, a trip to Vanderbilt on the road. It'll be Wednesday at 7. From that cursed venue where the benches aren't in the right spots and everything's weird. The
goals hang out weird.
I don't know.
Stupid. It's like a big flowery square box with other boxes.
Vanderbilt's been a mess ever since their
place.
Player got hurt.
They've lost five straight.
Yeah,
I did not know they had lost five straight.
Yeah. They're a mess multiple ways. But this whole season's been a tank for them. They're 9-8 overall, 0-5 in SEC play. They have the worst SEC record of any team. God. They're not even tied for worst. They're just the worst.
This just sets up, doesn't it?
No.
They were actually good when we had to play them in 0-8 after getting the number one
that
ranking.
That was a good Vanderbilt team.
I just remember the entire talk was about how like the three of the best teams in the country were in Tennessee.
Yep.
Memphis.
We had the state on lock that year.
Matchup predictor says 86% for Tennessee in
that's,
this one.
That's pretty damn good for a road game in conference.
Yeah, okay.
IMO.
Fair enough.
Missouri was what? Missouri was 60. Missouri was only
really?
Tennessee was like, yeah, it was like 62% favorite.
I thought it was more than that.
It was not. It was way closer than I thought.
Mm.
Florida was somewhere in that range too. Florida, a few games into the season, was actually favored according to the BPI for that one.
I'm not worried about this one. Do you remember what Davey said on Friday about the Alabama game?
Rarely.
It's like, I'm not worried about this one at all.
I wasn't.
I said Vols by, I think I picked them by 10. It's kind of a number.
I mean, the first half, you could
I want
tell.
Those net points.
Didn't get them.
No, yeah, the first half, because you didn't play well and you were still up, 14 at the break. I tweeted out, I was like, you haven't played well. But you're on pace for 88-64. This is exactly what Tennessee wants. They want to score their average. They want to hold teams under 65. This is perfect. The start of the second half is what killed them, and then they couldn't hit enough shots kind of in that middle 10 minutes to really make a difference. But they closed. They did their job. Some teams around the country did not do their job. Michigan went on the road. And what – I called this one last week. I called it. I told you. Maybe 2 weeks ago I called this one. Wisconsin, the hungry Badgers, backs against the wall, team full of white guys, most unathletic team I've ever seen in my life, took down Michigan, who, by the way, I don't see it. I think they're good. I don't see what everybody else thought with Michigan. I just don't think they're that good. They've got the one big guy in the post who makes life difficult. I didn't think they should. They all have really weird shots. They don't have good form on their shots. Beeline's good, but this is not the team that Tennessee played in St. Louis with what was that guy's name? The guy who could just shoot from like 50 feet, and it was like money every time.
What, was Stauskas still
yes,
playing?
Yes, Nick Stauskas. Okay, that was it. Stauskas.
I remember if he was playing for
him
or not.
Oh, my God. I hated that guy. And they had another guy who looked just like him, who was almost as good. Yeah, but Stauskas. They don't have that guy.
Nick Stauskas.
boy, he was good. This Michigan team, not that same. I think the Big Ten, not very good. I think Michigan State's probably the cream of the crop in the Big Ten. I don't think Purdue's good. I don't think Wisconsin's good. I don't think Iowa's very good, even though they're ranked. I think the Big Ten's quite overrated. Mm. That's what I think. But Michigan went down. And then, for the first time in my life, on Saturday night, I pulled for Duke. I did it. I sat
really?
There, and I was wanting Duke to win.
I couldn't do it. I watched the game very neutrally, I guess.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, because I don't know which one of those ultimately is best at the end of the year. Like,
end of the year.
Yeah, like, I don't know, do we want...
Wait, we're talking about the number one ranking right now.
That's fine.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's fine.
And that, I just thought that gave Tennessee the best chance. If Duke won a close one, which they did, 2-point game,
yeah.
A lot of people mad at that last shot Virginia made.
Oh, did
at
that
the buzzer.
Line was
that,
three and a half.
Oh, I didn't think
a
about it.
A lot of people lost
Ouch.
A lot of money. A lot of Virginia fans who bet on their team, though, that probably saved their night.
That's why I don't
bet. We lost the game, but thank God we hit that late two that didn't matter, but got the spread so that I'll win some money. A lot of people mad at that one.
Sheesh.
Duke wins by two. Down goes undefeated Virginia. No more undefeated teams left. Shouts out to Michigan and Virginia for the loss on Saturday. The question now becomes, will the voters overlook Duke's home loss to Syracuse and credit them maybe a little too much for the win against Virginia?
I can't do it. Like, even though I have a bias, I mean, you were 18-point favorites against Syracuse. And I mean, granted.
What was the final? Did they lose by 16?
No, they only lost by 4 in overtime.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. It was just a situation where you can't let that game slip even though you lost your starting point guard in the game. Like, they just couldn't ever get the offense to – I mean, they were able to score, but just defensively, Trey Jones is used to – get out there and stop the ball. But.
I mean, it just yeah, it'd be like if Alabama had beaten Tennessee on Saturday. You know, people drop Tennessee in the polls, or at least you know not move them up. It's like a game you should win. They were at home too.
Yeah.
I watched the Virginia Duke game more and try to compare how good those teams were to Tennessee in my head.
Mm.
I was trying to think like, okay. If this Duke team played this way, how well would Tennessee need to play to beat them?
And?
Well, and I think the best news, if you're a Tennessee fan, is I think Tennessee can beat any team in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they'd have to play really well to beat either of those teams.
Sure.
But I don't
yeah.
think that's a shocking
no,
assessment.
Yeah, I mean, no one in the country is going to roll out the C-plus game and beat Virginia or beat Duke or beat Tennessee for that matter.
Right.
Like it that's a coin that flips both ways.
It's
I mean,
also
it's,
hard when you're coming off Tennessee playing probably their worst half of basketball this year.
Yes.
And then you're watching Duke, Virginia go into a game where they're both been kind of pointing towards it. And that might be one of the reasons Duke lost. Obviously, the injury kind of throws them off kilter during the Syracuse game. But you're also kind of heading for this monumental matchup. And I
yeah.
thought Virginia and Duke – in that game, both played, you know, played really well. I mean, they both played. Virginia always plays good defense. Duke played, I thought, really well in the defensive end for them. Virginia was not able to get going from three, which was a reason Duke was able to win the game. And I mean, both those teams will present challenges for Tennessee, obviously.
Yeah, what did they combine for like 6 threes in the game?
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, it was very bad. For the longest
time,
it was like 2 of 13.
Virginia did get
teams.
Some open looks and just
yeah,
missed them.
Just missed them.
And
yeah.
that probably could have, you know, been the difference. I mean, it was a great basketball game.
It was a good basketball game.
Duke has a little more talent than maybe any team in the country. Natural raw talent, I guess, for lack of a better way to put that. I think Virginia fundamentally, again, is maybe the best team. And I think Tennessee is kind of a combination of that. Like, Tennessee in some spots would be more athletic and more talented than Virginia from a kind of an athletic talent standpoint. And in some spots, Tennessee would be fundamentally and more developed and kind of the veteran type of play, a little more like a Virginia player as compared to Duke. I mean, Duke just has athletic, you know, players all over the court.
I mean, you can tell, like, just watching their style, they don't really get into a lot of offensive sets. It's more of just, all right, let's ISO Zion or let's ISO RJ and just let them go and do one-on-one matchups and get to the basket and score.
They did move the ball. It works. You know, it wasn't like watching the Houston Rockets last year in the NBA playoffs. So they did move the basketball to get into those spots, which is why it worked. Like, if you just stand around and let one guy try an ISO and drive against Virginia's pack line, like, it's not going to work. It's that same help problem Tennessee had. But Duke was able to spread the floor really well, move the basketball around, and then end up with those guys attacking the basket, ultimately in a one-on-one situation. And, yeah, I mean, Zion Williamson is he's kind of like it's a little bit LeBron-esque in that situation. Like, if he has enough space, like, he's going to get to the rim. It's can he finish? Are you going to foul him? And sometimes it's just both.
That dunk where the guy karate chopped his arm and it just didn't matter. That was his right hand, by the way, and he's a lefty. That was his non-dominant hand that got hacked to death, and he still powered through the hack for the dunk.
Lost the ball.
Yeah, lost the ball for a second and in the air and was able to corral it with the same hand that was getting fouled and flush it. He's a monster. He's a mutant from a bunker. It's fun to watch. There's no way he's 18 years old. Or human.
Human.
He's from another planet. He is the bad guy in Space Jam. That's where he's from. He stole all the talent from young LeBron and Charles Barkley and everyone else and just melted it together into this package of destruction. But, man, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I give Duke credit, too, for not settling for too many outside shots. I mean, obviously, Virginia was trying to cut down on the penetration and keep the game kind of their style. They did that, you know, for the most part. But it just they could not buy an outside shot. And, I mean, Virginia has that one kid. That it was a six-man that got hurt last year, right?
DeAndre Hunter.
He's incredible. Like, I mean, he's
– Yeah, 18.
He'll be tough for anybody to handle. And then their guards are just so smart with the basketball. And then they've got kind of their, you know, their big bruiser inside that protects the rim. But I don't think either of these two teams are like some of the teams you would have seen, you know, 5, 10, 15, or just any in just a different year. You know, they're not unbeatable as we've seen. And that's why
these teams combined to go 5 of 31 from 3.
It's crazy.
That's remarkable. That's bad. Number one team in the country. Give me a break. I don't think so. Not in my house.
I do wonder if those two teams in Tennessee though are the three that are, you know, a half tick better
than
everybody else.
After watching now Virginia and Duke a couple of times, obviously seeing Tennessee a bunch, and finally getting to watch Michigan start to finish. I'm sorry, man. Michigan's not in my conversation. I'm not saying they couldn't beat any of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball.
I'm just saying that when you watch Michigan and then you watch Virginia, Duke, and Tennessee, just worlds apart as far as the level of basketball player. So if you want to talk about, you know, maybe Beeline versus some of these other coaches, sure, I'll give you that one. But as far as level of talent, no, not even close. No offense to Michigan. They're a good basketball team. They're not in my conversation for best team in the country. Not with these three sitting up there.
Well, I'm glad you were able to watch them a lot because I saw the end of the game. I kind of had one eye on it at a restaurant earlier, but I haven't been able to watch Michigan play.
Michigan's
enough.
Like, they're pesky. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, Tennessee, talented, good. Same with Virginia. Same with Duke. Michigan's just pesky. They just do things to annoy you and throw you off. But, I mean, Wisconsin's not very good this year. And they went through a couple of droughts themselves and were still able with – I mean, I said Michigan athletically is lacking, right? Talent – Wisconsin is – it's embarrassing. And they were able to hang with Michigan and keep it close. I mean, sorry.
Wisconsin gets a net point not necessarily a point, but, I mean, they got the plus 10 win margin, but – it was a very close game.
It was
kind of like the Tennessee
game.
Florida game, how it just happened to open up at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one team would get up by three, the other team would fight back and get up by two, then one, two, four, whatever, and then at the end, I mean, honestly, that the flagrant foul they called, the intentional away from the ball really changed it. I thought Beilein was going to get a tech. He didn't. Of course, they saved him, but kind of opened the game up. They were trying to foul the bad free throw shooter. He passes the ball. They foul anyway. They got to ring him up for an intentional. Can't grab a guy away from the ball.
Yeah, the studio analysts even blew it as they tried to explain it, I think, going into the Tennessee game. I think that was on that channel. It might have been on the channel from the game. But anyway, it was all ESPN games. Like, one guy thought that they called the intentional on him smacking him right as he passed the ball.
No.
That's not what he looked over and said, "Hey, I'm about to foul this guy," and whacked him way away from the ball. Like, that's an intentional foul.
Yeah,
sorry.
Can't do that. Broke the law.
And maybe Beilein thought that it was earlier, too. Maybe, I don't know. He lost his mind.
He blew the whistle on the second foul.
Yeah, it was very clear.
They didn't
even
call the first one. Now, if they had called the first one, sure, but they missed it. And then he went and grabbed him and fouled him again. It's an intentional foul when he doesn't have the ball.
I agree. Final segment, hour one. Right back at you next. Final segment, hour number one, talking Tennessee basketball. Anyone that is worried about a team that got a W in a conference game versus a quality opponent after taking a very strong shot from said team in January has not watched very much basketball in their life. These games build character for Final Four runs.
National championship runs, hopefully. No, he's right. I mean, I think, I don't know, like the start of the SEC schedule has been so weird because you're supposed to be getting everyone's best shot. And I think you got it from Florida, and then you still turned it on in the last couple of minutes and got the double-digit win. This one, you definitely got Bama's best shot. You definitely got Petty's best shot. And in this one, you didn't play your best. To survive with a win on a Saturday in which a lot of things kind of went your way was very, very big. Do we think the team felt a little bit of pressure after the Michigan loss? Grant kind of acted like he didn't even know when he went into the press conference after the game.
It's weird to be up so big in the first half if that was a factor at all. You know, I don't think so. I mean,
letdown a little bit.
I mean, they might have known, but I just think
I want to say letdown.
Petty just going
foot off
crazy.
The gas,
and,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of what Terrell's talking about. Like, you're just going to have lulls like that in your basketball season, and you hope you can survive them. And they did on Saturday. Brian tweets in, and he quote tweeted Grant Ramey, who said Rick Barnes runs practice like number 3 Tennessee is number 353 Tennessee. You mentioned that last week on the show. And Brian says, I think we looked tired on Saturday and a step slow.
People have said that the last couple of games. They said that in the second half against Arkansas. You think that you buy into that? You buy into the fact that maybe Barnes is, I mean, I know that's something he's kind of adjusted as he's gotten older. But is it possible that maybe he's overworking the guys a little bit? Like, when you're winning games by 20, 30, 40 as a coach, don't you kind of think, well, damn, maybe we should make practice a little tougher?
I don't understand why, like, late in the Arkansas game or maybe where they still basically had the starters out there? Like,
yeah.
I mean, really late, like in the last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get that at all. I do know, and like you were alluding to, we've talked about it, like, Rick Barnes does monitor their work rate, and he only wants them going hard 3 times a week, max. You know, and 2 of those better be the games. That's the saying. I'm not sure which practice Grant Ramey's alluding to. If it's the other hard, if it's the one hard day of practice he was watching, as I'm sure it was, then that makes sense. So they might be a little tired. They might have been. They definitely were a step slow at times on Saturday. But I will tell you, I know Rick Barnes is in the. I mean, they're monitoring that closely. But I wonder, like, we've also said if some of those games, like the Georgia game comes to mind, were almost so easy if they then went harder on a practice day later that they weren't planning on. I mean, it's a fine line because you want to be in shape. You want to be ready to put in 40 or more minutes if you go to overtime in games late in the tournament and not – you know, you want to be able to ride your best players as much as possible once you get into elimination basketball, but you don't want to wear them out too early.
Speaking of just tournament basketball, Jerry Palm has released his most recent bracketology predictions, and he has Tennessee as the number 1 overall seed representing the South region. Mm-hmm. So That would be Louisville.
Mm. Mm.
Let's go to the ticket master. Louisville regional.
4-hour drive.
You'd be in Columbia, South Carolina for the first weekend.
That's the pathway I've wanted.
Oh, my gosh. Start in Columbia, drive back to Knoxville, up to Louisville, and then maybe just take a week off and go straight to Minneapolis.
Wow. Jerry Palm.
I'll always love Jerry Palm.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Monday, we'll call it.
You'd have Kansas as 2 seed based off his
yes,
rankings.
That's like
they got who'd they get beat by?
West Virginia.
Right.
They haven't won a conference game.
West Virginia gets the first win in the Big 12 over Kansas at home after starting, I believe they were winless. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. That was like a
does that mean West Virginia's getting hot, or does that mean Kansas is just not that good right now?
They're not the same team without us.
Yeah. We'll take Kansas.
I don't need West Virginia getting hot, though. Is that Saturday? West Virginia comes to town Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't need that. At least it's at home.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
Because that game, that was Kansas at West Virginia when they got the victory over the weekend.
Wow. West Virginia.
Let's just go ahead and win the national title with only that one loss and beat Kansas in the tournament to avenge it.
I'd be fine with that.
Yep.
That sounds good. You know what, Nate? That would feel good. I would feel very good.
We'll go to the Final Four happened. Avenging our Kansas loss. We'll just win all the rest
anyone
of it.
Else in that bracket that we'd be avenging some type of previous tournament
heartbreak.
Loss? Like, is Ohio State in there or Loyola?
Just go down the list. Who's 3?
Michigan.
4.
Okay,
5.
3 is Maryland. 4 is Nevada. 5, North Carolina. 6 is Villanova.
North Carolina. I'll take North Carolina. I'll take Villanova. They beat us last year. Those two teams beat us last year. I won them both.
7 is Iowa and 8 Mississippi State.
Iowa? Play-in game? That's their revenge game. Dang it. Dang it.
They'll be out. We're the 1 seed. Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
Just got to beat the 16 and the 8 or 9.
There's no teams.
Who are the 8 or 9? Who are the 8 and 9?
8's Mississippi State, 9's Indiana.
That'd be weird.
What?
Mississippi State.
Wait.
Indiana. I'd take Indiana.
I guess that doesn't break the rules of conference because they're an 8. There's certain rules about, like, obviously you can't play a conference team in your first game.
Right.
And then they can't put conference teams in next-to-next brackets depending on, like, at certain levels. But
right.
If you're down, if you're at 8, it doesn't matter. It's too low.
Jerry Palm. Love him. Number 1 overall seed.
Well,
yeah.
Good news. Kansas City, the Midwest Regional, where Lenardi had us last week, it's sold out. But you can still buy tickets for Louisville. Just say.
Excellent. Excellent.
Might want to jump on them now and just sell them if Tennessee doesn't end up there.
Joe Lenardi has not updated his bracketology. I guess we'll get that probably today or tomorrow. Noon today, is that right, Davey?
It'll
the AP
be,
and coaches.
There's no exact time it comes out, like right on the dot.
Do they
just
wait for all
that.
The votes to get in? Let's hurry up, voters. Let's get this thing in.
Yeah,
come on, it's a holiday.
It is.
You're not doing anything. Just send in the vote, if you don't mind. Post haste, on the double. With the quickness.
And then we can avenge that Vanderbilt loss midweek this week for that time last time as the number 1 team in the country.
2019 Revenge Tour.
It's a plan.
I'm in.